Good morning or good afternoon, most likely when you'll be listening to this, and welcome back to another episode of Caffeinated and Opinionated with your host, Hills Bills. So, I've got plenty of free time right now because not only is your girl working from home, but I also don't currently have a car. Now you might be thinking, didn't you just get a car? Why don't you have a car? My car is stuck at the dealership right now waiting on parts. You know, Chrysler takes, I guess, 2 weeks to get parts that you need. I guess they don't, but the part that I needed specifically is going to take Chrysler like a couple of weeks to get it to the dealership and then for them to fix it. And then waiting on the dealership to get parts to the collision center to fix the interior trim on my vehicle. So, you know, it's just a waiting game right now for my Jeep baby to be his absolute bestest. So I got plenty of free time because I'm really not going anywhere. And when you work from home, you don't have to go anywhere except 5 feet over to your office, right? Fun times. So I'm going to go ahead and pop open this energy drink and we're going to get started on today's episode, right? So today might be a slight bit of a controversial topic to begin with. And I do want to throw out there that it is a bit of a trigger warning for anybody that does have any issues with eating disorders or eating in general, body image issues. So I do want to go ahead and throw that out there before we do get into this, so that if that is something that may trigger you, you can go ahead and click off of this. I completely understand. I would never want to trigger anybody into a downward spiral or self-harm path. And that being said, would like to share a little bit of personal news about my life, and that is that I am making amends with people in my life and closing chapters on good notes, and honestly, it feels real good. It fills in those spots in your soul, in your heart, inside of you that may not necessarily be whole, so that you can completely close them and say goodbye and have it end on a positive. And honestly, just being a better person in general, it feels so good. Oh my God. Just trying to be better for me towards other people. 10 out of 10. Highly recommend it, right? And if you've known me in the past, I've not always been that way. So to make this change has really been something that I'm enjoying working on, right? So with that being said, let's go ahead and get into it for today. Now, the first one that I want to discuss is eating disorders, right? Now, yeah, this is a very heavy topic, and like I said, could be considered very controversial. And this is not meant to hurt anybody, shame anybody, you know, make anybody feel bad. But what I would like to say is that I personally, honestly do believe that an eating disorder can be okay if you have the mentality to know when to quit, right? To know when to quit. And I know that there are people that fall into eating disorders and they don't have that mentality to stop themselves, which is why they are where they are. And there is no shaming these people. That's not what this is about. And eating disorders aren't solely just anorexia, bulimia, you binge eating disorder to cause yourself to become obese, overweight. That too is an eating disorder. Now, when I say that eating disorders can be used in a more positive light, in a sense, what I'm saying is, if you take someone who is a recovering anorexic, right? Someone who has spent their whole life severely restricting calories, and they have now recovered past that point. I do feel that if they have a strong enough mentality, if they have recovered with therapy and counseling to cause them to no longer feel the way that they did and why they needed to do what they did, I do feel like if that person is binging, say, necessarily on a healthy meal, you can binge on healthy meals. If this person loaded up an entire plate with nothing but, I don't know, steak and seafood and binged on nothing but a protein platter, that could be something that is good for this person's recovery, because they're allowing themselves to eat those calories. They're allowing themselves to gain that weight to get to where they need to be at a healthy weight so that they're no longer underweight. And yeah, I am saying a healthy binge. I'm not talking about going out here and buying every menu item at McDonald's and eating every single bit of it. I'm talking about fueling themselves with that healthy fat and the protein of those animal products. Those, you know, from steak, salmon, shrimp, chicken, things of that nature. Just, you know, going out to the grocery store, buying it, cooking it up themselves, getting that protein to cause them to be satiated, and just really taking in all of that to help pack on some weight for them to get closer to a healthier weight. Now, the flip side, and I'm sure this is probably going to cause me so much hate, but this is coming from a place of personal experience, okay? Now, I started out as somebody who was 190.6 pounds. Okay, and that was at the end of January, and I will most definitely say that after the car accident that caused me to have some hip injuries, some severe hip pain, I wasn't able to work out. I was watching what I was eating prior to that car accident. I was trying to maintain a much smaller set of calories, you know, around like 1,200, 1,400 on like a big day if I ate like a big steak or something, right? But, you know, trying to stay within that range and also working out. I also had a physical job. And when I mean physical, I mean like up on my feet, lifting like maybe up to 50 pounds at a time. It wasn't anything like ridiculous. Like I wasn't in construction. I wasn't in a factory or anything like that. I had a physical job, right? Not a manual labor, but a physical job. And so that caused me to be able to burn some extra calories so I could eat a little bit more because, you know, I had that job and then I was working out on top of it to help burn some extra calories, and that was helping me bring my weight down. When the accident occurred, I had lost 14.6 pounds. I was down to 176 pounds in total. And that was, I believe that was my weigh in like the day after the accident, right? Because I weigh myself on Saturdays, and it might have been a day or two after the accident. I just remember it was that week, because that picture that I took and was posted and was really proud was the day that we went to go look at a rental car. That's all I remember. It's been a while. It's only been a few months, but to me that's been a while right now, right? And after that accident, it did definitely cause me an inability to be able to go work out. I tried. I even tried a little bit later. And I couldn't even get through a leg day. I didn't even get 20 minutes into a leg day before I was almost in tears. It hurt so bad. So what I realized I had to do, because I didn't have health insurance, I wasn't going to go through the car insurance. What I did was I took that time off of the gym while keeping my, you know, physical job of, you know, being up on my feet and lifting, you know, heavier boxes. And 50 pounds wasn't heavy. It was just heavier than, you know, what I would normally do in my past lives. And I knew that if I was not able to physically go to the gym to work out, whether that be the treadmill or whatever, because I even tried treadmill a little bit and, you know, that hurt. So I took that time off to allow my hip to heal, to allow it to recover. And during that time, I took a even more severe calorie restriction to where I was eating less than 1,000 calories a day. And so I was using restrictive eating as a form to compensate for the fact that I could not go to the gym. Because I would say that by the time all the calories I burned throughout the day with going to the gym, I was probably making up for with not eating. So what I would have burned at the gym is probably about what I cut back on eating. And, you know, and I'm not encouraging this behavior. I am just saying that there are some people out there who, if this is something that they are doing, and, you know, they start out at 190 pounds, 190.6 pounds, almost 191, and they allow themselves to calorie restrict to a point, there's not necessarily anything that I feel like you should worry about at that time. If this person is taking in the proper nutrition, and getting, you know, all of their vitamins, minerals, and their macros and micronutrients, I don't feel like at that point you should really be super concerned. If that person is consuming enough water and consuming, once again, all the necessities to keep their body functioning, I feel like being on that low of a calorie restriction is something that if they have that mentality to stop before it becomes a problem, then you should let them. And I know not everybody has that willpower. My thing is when I moved back home to Tennessee from Georgia, I found it within myself to go ahead and I think it was maybe 2 weeks into being here, I was like, I started eating again, like more, right? So I was back up to like maybe that 1100 calorie range. You know, my breakfast consists of a protein shake. It's 2 scoops of my chocolate protein powder in water, because that saves calories, right? Then I don't have to put it in almond milk. And water's free. Not free. Water is not something that you have to pay for by the gallon at a store. I think you do pay per gallon use, like to your city or county water. The point I'm making is I fill up my Brita and I have my Brita. I can just pour, right? So I don't have to go out and spend like $3-4 on half a carton of almond milk, oat milk, whatever. So I have water so much more easily available, more readily available. It comes right out of the tap. I put it through the filter and we're good to go in about 15 minutes, right? So I pour my 2 scoops of chocolate protein powder into my water. And then with that, I will have a vitamin C collagen packet, and I pour that in water too. That's my breakfast. Then for lunch, we're looking at a protein bar. I try to keep my protein as high as possible. It's going to keep me satiated on as few as calories as possible. And then for dinner, usually it's just a huge source of protein. Usually not a whole lot of other things. My day does look very protein heavy, right? And it's not that I'm anti-carb, keto, none of that. It's just I'm looking to eat as much protein as possible because it is satiating. It is filling. So you can eat so much less of it calorie-wise and feel so much more full. It's not empty calories that are just going to continue to make me hungry. So I started doing that again and decided, let's go ahead and try to go back to the gym. So I did. I started going back to the gym and I realized I could work out again. And it was at that moment that it clicked in my brain that I don't have to continuously restrict myself like I was previously. I had the mentality to turn that around, and I stopped right before I was, I'm still not technically at a healthy weight. I do have a couple more pounds to go, honestly. I weighed in yesterday at 147.6, which is a total weight loss of 43 pounds, which feels awesome. I gotta throw that out there. It felt awesome, right? 147.6 for a 43 pound weight loss total. And so I do have, like I said, a few more pounds before I am considered at a healthy weight range. But I stopped doing that at 149. So when I got into that overweight category to where I was almost in the healthy weight category, I knew it was time to stop. I knew that what I had to do was go back to being a significantly healthier method of this weight loss achievement. And once again, this is not to shame anybody. This is not to encourage anybody to have an eating disorder at all. What I'm trying to get at is if somebody is mentally capable of doing it and that's why they're doing it, then it's not something that we should be incredibly worried about. Like I said, if somebody is doing it for the end goal to be something healthy and it's just a short-term thing, it'd be no different than those of us that fast, right? I mean, fasting is calorie restriction as well, correct? My thing is look at all of these people that fast for religious reasons. And I'm in no way comparing religious reasons to health reasons. But my point is plenty of people fast all the time. And you see them have the mentality to not get stuck into that routine. Granted, they have a reason, a goal for them to spend that time with their form of God and getting closer to Him, getting closer to their religion, things of that nature, right? And these people can do it for religious reasons and nobody bats an eye. I don't know why we cannot sit here and look at somebody else who may be doing it for health reasons for also maybe a short period of time. At least I was consuming some calories, so I wasn't completely fasted. That's not the point. The point is that people can do these things short term and have that mentality to not let it get too far. That's all I'm saying. I would never encourage anybody to do this if they were not mentally able to. I do not necessarily applaud people that have eating disorders. And if you have an actual eating disorder, I would highly recommend that, you know, you seek treatment and you seek help to get yourself better. And that isn't just for those that have a restrictive eating disorder. If you have binge eating disorder as well, if you are somebody who is, you know, 300, 400, 500 pounds, that's not healthy. You have a binge eating disorder. You did not get there solely by not eating, so don't even try that. And I'm not trying to be mean. I am being factual and logical here. You did not get to that weight, to that size, solely by not eating. And this is coming from somebody who used to do it. This is coming from somebody who would secretly eat, who would not want to share about what they were eating because they were eating so much food. And I would joke about it. I would joke about it, but the jokes I was making was never like how realistic it really was. I was like, oh, I'm a fat ass. I could eat all that. No, really, I actually could. All the DoorDash orders, things like that. It's very unhealthy. So my point is there are times where those tools, if implemented for short periods of time by those who have strong enough minds, and I'm not calling anybody weak-minded. All I'm saying is if you have a strong enough mind to not, if you have a strong enough mind to get out of it without help or without counseling, therapy, or any other tools that you may need, and there is nothing wrong with that. As somebody who has definitely been to counseling for other mental illnesses, there's absolutely nothing wrong with seeking help, 100%. But if you are somebody who can get through those for a short period of time and then stop when you recognize that it is time to stop, I do not see an issue with it. 100% my opinion, 100%. I feel like it's incredibly controversial. And if you feel that way, and if you feel that I am a terrible person for even promoting what I am saying, I do apologize, but I stand by it. I apologize that you feel that way, but I do not apologize for what I've said, because I watched it work for me. Because with the method, I watched myself drop another 14.6 pounds on top of that, another 12.4, for another total of 27 more pounds. It is something that did work and was effective, all simply by restricting my calorie intake. And then when I realized I was almost at a healthy weight, I knew that was time to go ahead and stop doing as I was doing and continue at this at a much more healthy and safe manner. But it did get me through being obese, down to overweight, down to almost at a healthy weight. And now that I am at almost a healthy weight, I do feel it is fine for me to continue at eating a slightly higher calorie intake and continuing to work out now that my hip has fully recovered. Well, I don't know if it's fully recovered. It has recovered enough for me to work out, and that's what matters. So with that being said, that is for that portion of today's discussion, and probably the most controversial and the worst. But I do have some other things that I would like to go over. This next one is a significantly more fun topic, and let me just go ahead and get a sip of this energy drink while we're at it. Sorry, nothing like trying to have a whole podcast here while suffering some dry mouth there. Drank a little too much last night, yesterday, played cornhole, had a great time, was safe, and no big deal. So the next thing that I want to discuss coming back, and this one I did just a slight bit of research on, not a whole lot, but this one was 2000s fashion that's coming back. I see it all the time. I'm not a TikToker. I feel like I'm way too old for TikTok, right? I like TikToks for much younger individuals. So I'm a mature adult who scrolls through YouTube shorts. And consistently on YouTube shorts, I'll see a recurring thing of some of the girls that I like to watch who talk about bad 2000s fashion coming back. And not necessarily bad 2000s fashion, but they're like, oh my goodness, just got my whole middle school wardrobe at Target. And when you see some of the things that these girls are picking out, and you're like, oh my gosh, why is some of this stuff coming back? And I know they're making a joke of it. I'm really trying to figure out who in the fashion industry pushed for these things to come back and why they said, yep, I'm going to definitely sign off on that, because absolutely not. And some of them, I looked in Cosmo for some of the 2000s fashions, trends that are coming back. I guess the biggest and the hardest. And I went through and I picked out the ones that I felt were the worst, right? Now, personally, I feel like this is something that a lot of us that may have had those, these fashion trends, bestowed upon us in this time frame, in this era of life. Those of us who can remember seeing celebrities dressed like this, those of us who had those awkward times in middle school and high school where we all dressed really stupid and none of us looked cute, these are some of those. So the first one is the micro mini skirts. And my thing with this is comfortability and practicality. I don't feel like having a skirt that is most likely less material than the bra that any of us ladies are wearing at any given time. I just don't see how that's practical. I don't feel like going through my day and having to worry about how I bend over to pick something up, how I sit. I just don't have the time to worry about that. And I'm not calling anybody out because it's slutty or anything like that. My point is practicality, my friends. I don't know how you all have the energy and effort to sit there and worry all day about if, you know, something is hanging out. And not to mention practicality as well. I feel like the best way to fill your closet is with things that can be versatile. And, sorry, I got like a lump in my throat for a second, or like in my chest. We're good. Practicality of your wardrobe. You know, you can have pieces that say, you know, that you're sexy, but that you can also turn around and turn into office wear, or that you can turn around and turn into a brunch outfit. A micro mini skirt, I feel like, is such a club piece that there's not really anywhere else to wear it where I feel like it's considered practical, except for maybe a date. Maybe a date, depending on where you're going, right? You know, you wouldn't go to like a bougie restaurant and wear a micro mini skirt. There's just not enough occasions, I feel like, something like this piece of clothing would fit for it to be something worth dishing the money on. You know what I'm saying? And I'm 100% someone who's all about practicality, right? My whole new wardrobe is full of clothes that are, you know, business casual. By that same token, a lot of these I could always wear out on a date, if I dress them right, make it look like I just got home from work, you know, and just straight on the date, and, you know, hi, this is what I came in, and, you know, I'm about to be 30, so it shows that I'm an adult. But also, practicality of the rest of my wardrobe is jeans, lots of different types of jeans, right? I got my Sunday best jeans, I've got, you know, non-Sunday jeans that don't have a single hole in them, plenty of t-shirts, cardigans, sweaters, you know, plenty of things that have many different occasions that you can wear them to. And I really do feel like that's another one of my biggest thing is when making clothing choices, and especially at this age in my life, when I'm gonna make a clothing choice, I want it to be something that has so many different uses for wear, right? Like, and of course, there's always special occasions where you're gonna buy like one thing, you know, like if you have a formal that you have to go to, like bridesmaids dresses, wedding dresses, prom dresses, and of course, I would never bash anybody. Those are special events. Those are things where you want to dress up, feel pretty, dress up, feel handsome, whatever. So I would never, but then again, back to the handsome thing, I swear to God though, men, they can buy one suit and just, you men can buy probably like 2 to 3 suits, change out maybe like the vest with it, the tie or bow tie with it, you'll just change out a couple things and y'all got wardrobe for life. Y'all gotta buy significantly less formal outfits than ladies, and it's like, dang, that's unfair, but like, okay, y'all just gotta buy different accessories. Nonetheless, going on to the next fashion trend, making a comeback that I feel like we should just leave in its dirty past. And that's low-rise jeans. Low-rise jeans. That's once again, comfortability. Having something like that low down on your hips to where if you didn't shave your pubes that day, good luck because they're coming through. I don't see how that's comfortable. And I'm not saying you have to wear, high-waisted jeans all the time, but I feel like a good compromise are jeans that are, maybe sit around the belly button, maybe like right below it. I feel like that's an area where like normal jeans should sit. Anything above that, that's fine. Anything below it is also fine, but once again, I also don't find it practical. So you have a job where jeans are an acceptable part of your dress code. And then let's say you can't wear low-rise jeans to work. Imagine the length of a top you are going to need to be able to cover that whale tail in the back. Or once again, if you do have pubes sticking out the top, I'm telling you, you are going to need so long of a shirt to make that something that is doable at the office. Let's say it's a shirt you want to tuck in. You want to tuck it in. It's going to look real funny in those low-rise jeans. I'm just saying. Now, these do have more practicality to them, as I feel like, if you want to wear that out just to run to the store and do errands, you can wear low-rise jeans and like a huge shirt or whatever to cover whatever. Or if you don't want to cover it. I don't know why we feel it would be cool again to bring back the whale tail thongs hanging out the back. If that's your thing, props to you. Once again, for me, practicality and comfortability for these. I don't see it. I don't understand it. And more power to you. If you're going to make clothing option purchases, make sure you don't solely settle based on, oh my god, it's so cute right now. Think about the piece before you buy it. Right? Put thought and effort into it before you buy it. That's just me. I've started doing that more recently, and it's caused me to have less things in my closet that I don't want to wear, which feels awesome, right? I love that feeling. But the next thing on this list is trucker hats. And, trucker hats, I just think they're ugly, and I don't know why people like them. I know, I'm not coming for anybody personally. This is not a personal attack. If you like trucker hats, that's most definitely for you. That is totally fine. But I don't think they're cute. I really do not think they are cute. I think, and that goes for men or women, I think that if you are someone who is definitely into a billed hat, flat bill is not it. Trucker hats are not it. I feel like the best route and option to go is always a classic baseball cap. And I say that as somebody who personally wears a lot of baseball caps, who, I have a whole rack in my closet dedicated to my hats. I have a lot of them, right? So definitely here for baseball caps. I feel like that's a good look on men or women. I feel like it's classic, goes with a lot of different kinds of outfits. If you're not in a professional setting or on like a date or whatever, but for going out, whether you're going out to the store, you're going out for the day, a classic baseball cap is something that is, you can style it to look cute. I like to wear mine backwards a lot. You can always wear them forwards too. They, once again, I would say most practical, most fashionable, most wearable hat, classic, because at no point has a baseball cap gone out of style. I have never seen those come in and out. They've just always been there. People wear them. At no point have I ever seen anybody stop wearing a baseball cap, right? Like that true traditional baseball cap look to it. That's just me. What was my next one? Let's see here. What's next up on this list? Ah, yes. And dresses over pants. Because why? It's just a really odd fashion pairing. If you want to wear a dress, that's fine. If you want to wear jeans, that's fine. I don't understand mixing of the two. I really don't. And if you're like, well, I like the dress and I want to wear jeans, but you could always, do something to turn the dress into a shirt. That's something you could always do and alter it that way. But I just don't quite understand the reasoning behind shirts and or I'm sorry, dresses and over top of pants. I will never understand that trend. Now, I understand leggings or tights or something like that. You want to keep your legs warm. You maybe want to keep from anything showing because maybe the dress is a little short. That's fine. And, you know, because those were meant to go under dresses and skirts and things of that nature, you know, tights and leggings and stuff of that, like that were. But jeans, it's just, it's so much, it's so bulky, there's so much material, and honestly, it's just not a cute trend to throw together, personally. And you saw this all the time back in, you know, like Disney stars especially. I feel like as a kid, you saw a lot of Disney stars do this. And then, you know, they'd have like a t-shirt and jeans on, and then like they would have a spaghetti strap dress, like a sundress or something, over top of that whole outfit ordeal. And then they would have like a skinny long scarf for whatever reason, and then like some chunky headband. Sorry to call you out there, Ashley Tisdale, but everybody knows what that 2000s red carpet Disney star looks like, right? We all know those outfits too well. They were super popular and huge, and I just really don't know what our fashion sense was in the 2000s, because like you can judge other decades on how they dressed and what they wore, and I know that fashion cycles in and out, but I'm going to tell you, as somebody who lived through the 2000s, I think that was really our worst fashion choices. Now, because like things have cycled back from like the 90s, even more recently, and honestly, I feel like the ones that cycled back from the 90s were pretty nice. I'm sorry, I'm very here for turtlenecks still. Bring me the turtlenecks. I like the mom jean high rise kind of thing going on. Definitely a hit. Some of the like the more platform sneakers, even just things like that. They are bad. Some of them, not necessarily my style, but I feel like some of them are more doable, more easy to integrate into a wardrobe or closet or fashion sense that you already have. But some of these 2000s ones just ain't it, man. And hopping off of this and segueing into the very last one I have was going back to those long skinny scarves. Why did we do that? Why did we wear those really skinny, long as could be scarves? We'd wrap them around our neck once and let them just drape over our shoulders and just kind of hang there. And I hate that fashion trend. I'm sorry. Scarves were meant to keep us warm. That 2-inch thick, I'm sorry, not thick, that 2-inch wide amount of material is not doing us any favors. And you may say, well, yeah, it's meant to wear when it's not cold outside. It's a fashion accessory. No, it's not. It is not. No. Scarves have a purpose to keep you warm. And I don't feel like I want to wear a scarf in the summer, because then it's going to be hot, and then that one part of my neck is going to be really warm because it's hot, and then there's extra material there that's, you know, like a crochet or a knit material kind of going on there, like that yarn, right? But then if it's wintertime when you would expect to wear a scarf, there's not enough material there to keep my neck warm. So really, honestly, I don't understand the long skinny scarf trend. Did I participate? Yes. I do believe I did participate in that one. Not nearly as much as I did with the, I got really into like the floral scarves, like the really thin old lady floral scarves in like the 2010s, like the, like 2009, 2010, right? That was my jam. I loved those. I used to wear those with skinny jeans, boots, and then like a V-neck t-shirt. I thought I was cool, and you couldn't tell me anything because I was a high schooler and I was trying my best to be as cool as possible. Was I? No. Have I ever been? Absolutely not. Which is funny that I would even give fashion opinions to anybody, knowing damn well that half the time I'm just dressed like a bum. Nonetheless, that is most definitely how I feel about those 2000s fashion trends. Some fashion trends, from decades, even rough decades, can be brought back and can be considered okay. Somehow we're taking all the worst ones of the 2000s and bringing them back. And it's like there was a couple of things we could have picked out of there that would be really good. And you guys literally took the best ones and said, do it. So I don't know. I don't know whose idea it was. I'm not a fan. 0 out of 10, do not recommend. So the last thing that I would like to touch on today, and this one is a slightly sensitive topic, no trigger warning, but it is something that is a little bit more sensitive maybe for some people, probably not, just because I know how the world is and I totally understand. But it's not something I've done a whole lot of research on, so I just want to go ahead and get that out of the way and say that first. But it is something that I have, you know, kind of thought about a little recently, and something I would maybe more so like to just kind of throw out there, some of my ideas and my thoughts and perspective on it, and nothing that's necessarily factual, right? So looking at OceanGate, my first thing is, okay, so if you are very much on the internet a lot, and especially if you're somebody who's on YouTube a lot, right, you understand that when things go bad, they call it whatever gate, just like Watergate happened, right? So ever since then, or I guess more recently, based off the term Watergate, people are like, oh, you know, Jaclyn Hill has hair in her lipstick, lipstick gate, or, Toddy Westbrook and James Charles, it's this gate, it's that, and it's so funny that's the thing. And then this company OceanGate sends this down here. How did we not know that this was something that wasn't gonna go well? and that's just a little bit of humor I find in that situation, that anything named something gate just isn't gonna go well. The internet has taught me that based off Watergate and following, you know, because like I said, it's don't know, because so there's that, and just a little bit of humor I find in that bit of the naming situation every time I hear or think about it. That aside, the real thing that I want to take a look at is all of these people that were on the submersible, with the exception of the 19-year-old, okay? I'm going to kind of put him to the side for this, right? Was he 19 or was he 17? I can't remember his exact age, so forgive me, because I've kind of got, I think I thought he was one age and then found out he was the other age, but I know he's in that age range of like 17 to 19, right? Very young kid. I just couldn't remember if he was a minor or not right off. But with the exception of that kid, and I say kid because he was obviously still very young and had so much life ahead of him, right? So I'm going to put him to the side, okay? And that's very sad and tragic what happened with him. So this submersible is full of, was it billionaires? Millionaires? I don't know. More money than I'll ever see in my life, right? And you're gonna tell me that they were not able to build a device with the technology that we currently have. They were not able to build a device that was able to withstand going to the Titanic without imploding. Something that was controlled by a joystick controller. All I want to throw out there is that, was it, oh goodness, 1960? Let me take a look real quick, because now I'm curious. Because I'm going to get the names wrong if I don't. Doing research while doing this. At least I'm trying. I said I wasn't going to come with facts, but like, there's a couple things I wanted to discuss, and I don't want to get them wrong. Nope, that's not what I was trying to research. Aha, there we go. Okay, there we go. All right. So, in 1960, right? 1960. We're looking at, let's see. Is it 63? Am I doing the math correctly on that? Probably not. Hold on. One moment. Let me do math and not look like an idiot, right? 63. Okay, that's what I thought. For some reason, that math didn't sound like it was mathing right, so I wanted to check myself before I wrecked myself, right? So, 1960, Jacques Picard, right? 1960, technology is not nearly as advanced as it is currently. We have made significant leaps and bounds in technology in the last 63 years. And for some reason, in 1960, Jacques Picard was able to make all the way down to the Marianas Trench significantly deeper. I want to say it was like 9 to 11,000 meters further down. 9 to 11,000, because I can't remember the exact number, but I know it's in that range. 9 to 11,000 meters down past the shipwreck of the Titanic, further down, they took a submarine in 1960 with less technological advances, a two-man crew. The only devastation that happened on that entire exploration was that they did have, I'm guessing it was pressure, caused a window to crack, which shook the entire submarine. I looked into this, I was curious. And you're going to tell me that they came back alive and survived, this two-man crew of Jacques Picard, and I don't remember the other gentleman's name right off, they survived that. And so it's not like it was the depth at which was traveled. It was, I feel like, a lack of decent engineering, which I don't this is nothing personal. From what I understood, and I could be totally wrong, was that the people that were involved in this, that were, you know, working on the building of it, were kind of limited on what they were doing, even though they're the ones that know what they're doing. So, and I could be wrong about that, but from what I had heard, that those that were engineers, designers, of that nature for this submersible were not given the freedom to do what they're good at, what they literally do for a living, right? That their ideas and whatnot were kind of shut down. And that it was basically do it our way or else. And obviously, having money doesn't mean having brains. But if you have that much money, you should be able just to throw it at any really smart person to design the thing that you're wanting, if it's within the technological abilities that we have as a society. I feel like making a submersible that was able to go down to the Titanic, if you threw enough money at somebody, which these people had plenty of money to do so, I'm just not understanding why this is something that could have been avoidable. And, you know, the loss of human life is tragic, don't get me wrong. But by that same token, if you're not going to listen to the people who know what they're doing when it comes to the design of this machinery and technology, honestly, is it on them? Should we feel that bad about it? Of course we should feel bad that, you know, once again, people lost their lives and the people were dumb enough to do that. Granted, it's always white people that do some stupid shit like this, right? But what is everybody's thoughts and opinions on that? Because I feel like this is something completely something that could have been completely avoided, and somehow yet still we didn't take the precaution. Was that something that was necessarily on purpose to cause this to happen? Was it something that we'll never know? Or maybe it was the supernatural forces of the lost souls of the Titanic that just gobbled them up under the ocean. The world may never know. Of course, that was sarcasm. But then again, who knows? It could always actually be the lost souls of the Titanic shipwrecks, or, you know, that didn't survive. Kind of would be a very weird way to go, right? It'd be awful. You're just down there and then all these, you know, lost sea souls come out and get you. I don't know. So, that being said, I didn't want to, like, do a whole topic or conversation on that. I just wanted to throw out my opinion that I feel like this was completely avoidable when you have that at least four people who have that much money between all of them to have made a submersible that wouldn't have imploded upon itself at a depth much less than that of the deepest explored area of the ocean. But hey, what do I know, right? So I'm going to go ahead and end the podcast here today. I did just want to cover a couple of those things. And once again, back to the first thing, I don't want anybody to feel pressured or feel that anything I said that triggered them. Once again, this is just for those who have the mindset and the willpower to stop when they realize that a short-term period will not hurt them in doing this, right? Second thing, fashion, practical, comfortability. Go for those two things. You'll have a wardrobe that you can wear just about anywhere and for so long. Highly recommended. Get things that don't go in and out, right? Get basics. Basic jeans, basic shirts, things that will not go out or in of style, right? Keep it classic. So with that being said, everybody, have a wonderful rest of your Sunday. I will most definitely be talking to you all again next Sunday for next week's podcast while I dream up what we can talk about while I have all the free time while my jupe's being worked on. Stay classy and have a wonderful rest of your day, y'all.